Well, it's great to see everybody here, and it is encouraging to see many of you folk here. As a number of you I've never, don't think, met, and you might wonder who I am and all the rest. You probably know some of my family circle, and it's a privilege. I know I'm here now in Killyleagh for 19 years, and I can't believe it. So that's the start, isn't it? Came up from Dungannon, and in a sense we've had happy years. We belong to Killyleagh Baptist. It's a small wee fellowship, but they've been very supportive and encouraging, I must say that, all those years. Our family were in primary school when we arrived here, and just as they grew up sort of thing, you realise you're getting old. And now I'm a granda, so there you are. So things are happening. So tonight the subject, you know, think about a happy family. Now I'm not saying that I have a perfect family. That would be a lie. It really would. And it'd be unfair to suggest that I have got all the answers either. I don't have all the answers. But God has been good, and we can all learn from one another. And if you can't learn, then we're in trouble. That's a fact. And it's wonderful when you're sharing God's word, and this is what I love to hear myself, is to hear actually maybe a month down the line something that has been said in a teaching type meeting, and it's coming out maybe even in prayer, and you recognize it, and obviously the person has took that on board for themselves. And so tonight you're singing a lot of good things there, reminded me when I was on holiday regarding there in Scotland. Notice three big deer, and we're considering going to camp for the night in this sort of dead end place, and there was a lot of midges about, so we decided maybe better not. And so we're coming out again, and there was three massive deer coming from the water, and they were climbing up a slope. Definitely it was, it sounded like straight up and down, but there they went over it with ease. You know, as the deer pants after the water brooks, that's what I was actually thinking when I saw them. And it was sort of dark, and there they were coming up, having a drink. It would not be great for all of us if we were really thirsty for this word of God. And so tonight, the Lord knows your heart, and I'd say a happy family, you probably got that life, happy family life. And I was thinking about this here, and thinking about what I should say to you, and you all can drive cars, or you know what a car is anyway, and you know what a manual is, the manufacturer's instructions, and I'm sure we're all guilty here of not going along with those instructions. Sometimes we don't check the oil, we don't check the tire pressure, or even maybe that the tires are wore down or whatever. And we can all feel in that respect, and maybe don't want to take it to the garage because, oh dear, that's more money. That reminds me, mine's due myself, maybe this last couple of months, for a service. So that would need to be arranged and get it done. And so you think regarding the manufacturer's instruction, if you were to put oil, for example, for your windowscreen, I don't think it would work. You'd be in trouble. And it'd be as bad as ice or worse. You know, think of putting water in your petrol tank. Well, it's a good idea. Would it be cheap? It really would. So you think about that there, and you'd say, that's silly. You just have to obey basic instructions. And so I believe when it comes to family life, we have got the manufacturer's instructions. There's no question about that. And like a car, you could decide, maybe like me, I'll leave the service for a month or two. But there's things you can't afford to leave. And then sometimes people will say, well, manufacturer's instructions, well, I can change them a wee bit to suit me. Well, it might not work. The car would end up probably breaking down. And none of us want to break down a night like that there. And you'd be in trouble, and you'd regret doing something that you shouldn't do. And then if you apply that to ourselves, then we think about the manufactured instructions. God has given us his word. And so we all, I'm sure, want to be happy tonight. A happy family life. Well, you could be on your own tonight. You could live on your own. I don't know anybody's background fully here, but wherever you are, you can be happy. I always say, you might not always be happy with your circumstances. You might not, but you can be happy in the Lord. And I trust that's where you are tonight, that you can say, yes, I am happy. I am happy in the Lord. And how that I waited till I was 17, and I was so glad when I heard the gospel. I thought I was a Christian, brought up in a very religious family, and I would have been at church, I would say, 3 times on a Sunday. And when I heard the gospel, I was sure the gospel was for those that were drinking and those that were living wild. They would need to be saved. They would need to become good living, because I felt I was a Christian. And so I got a bit of a shock when I realized, here, I am just lost like them. And I know now there's none good, no, not one. And so we have been encouraged ourselves there in Killyleagh. This during the last year, there's been 2 people who have professed faith, and that encourages you. One man, he works in the quarry, and he's only saved about 5 weeks, and he's coming out to the meeting, he's coming to the prayer meeting. And that's really encouraging to see life, to see someone who has found the truth, who have been under conviction of sin and realized that Jesus died for them on the cross. So life's not all doom and gloom. There's encouragements along the way. And yes, you're facing, no doubt, the future out there. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Sure we don't. You don't know the price of your house if you're thinking of buying one. You don't know what way it'll work out. There's so many uncertainties. And yet, the certainty we can have with the Lord. So, a happy family life. And I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians in that section. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just thinking here about a happy family life starts with the Lord. That's where it starts. Now, I know there are happy, let's say, happy families, in a sense, as far as life goes, that are not Christian, and they seem to get on really well, and they seem to be a good example of a family. But there's something missing. If they're not saved, there's something missing. And I often say happiness is to know the Saviour. And so that's the real happiness, because you're not depending on your circumstances then. Because if you depended on your circumstances, as soon as you have problems, then you would sort of want to give up on life. But it's great to have that certainty with the Lord. So a happy family life, it starts with the Lord. Ephesians here, 5, and you'll see there, it tells us in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." And then in verse 25, it tells us at the end there, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Verse 32. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Starts with the Lord. Think of what he was willing to go through. He was willing to suffer. And there are many families suffering. Many families. Tonight, I think of one family, and at times they don't know where a member of their family is, out in the world, out in that mountain wild and bare. It's breaking their heart. And when you're spared to have teenagers growing up, you say, oh, that'd be perfect. I always thought that, you know. I remember when I got married and I watched other people looking after their children and I thought, if I had you, I would sort you out. You know, when they'd be really naughty, you know, and you think, that's desperate, those wee children. And then suddenly, you have children and it's a different story. They have a mind of their own. They're individuals, don't come out in the machine sort of thing. So God allows us to have those experiences. He really does. And how it's good to have the Lord. And that's where it starts. A happy family life starts with the Lord. Because I remember when Mavis and I got married, I would say I was shy. And still would say I am. And a happy family life starts with the Lord. What do? Well, isn't it nice to pray together? It really is. And if you're going tonight with each other, well, you can do worse than pray together. You really can. And you can pray about things and bring that to the Lord. And it's good. So if you pray, that's a good thing. And when you know the Lord. And so, yes, there are plenty of problems out there. There's difficulties. But God is good. And if we apply to the owner's manual and realize there's salvation and no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so he is Lord. And that means there that I obey him. He's my master. And he comes first. He's number one. He's number one in my life. And so I believe that's important. No matter what else comes along, the Lord is first. So it starts with the Lord. So I trust tonight that you are a Christian. Some people say, Christianity, oh, you'll be miserable. I've actually heard people say that. You will be miserable. You know, I've heard people say this, and I'm not here to mock the Bible, far from it. But I've heard people say, and they said it mockingly. And they would just say, oh, you'll have a real big Bible, and you'll have a big long face, and that's it. That's what you'll get. But that's not. That is not the truth, because Christianity brings peace. It really does. You'll get peace in your heart. And I know that's what I received. At 17 years of age, I received peace. I was really burdened by my sin. And when I received Christ as my Saviour, that's peace. And thankfully, I had no doubts about my salvation. So here we are, and it starts with the Lord. But see here in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, really, when it comes to this here, and I'm using the mnemonic here, life, a happy family life, starts with the Lord, and then the individual. So, at the end of the day, we're all individuals, and a happy family life starts with you. Some people say, oh, I wish I was born into another family. If only I was born into such a family, things would be different in my life. But the Lord, thankfully, he's able to overcome any obstacle you have. And he loves individuals. And he died on a cross. And so, here we have in verse 3, and I believe it's a challenge to today's world. Because there is much immorality today. I know people don't want to talk about it, but it's the truth. And there are temptations, there's no doubt about that there, and how we don't want to fall with the world. God wants us to keep ourselves, even for when you get married, then I believe you should keep yourself pure unto that time, no matter what the world says. And so it's important we don't leave ourselves in those situations where we keep getting on our own all the time. And it's good to go where other people are and to keep ourselves right before God. And it tells us here regarding individual, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So God wants us to avoid immorality. And you see in verse 4 and 5, how that even clean talking, you know the way the jokes are, I don't know, maybe I've lost out a lot now, But I'm sure there's certain jokes that can become acceptable. And they're not just the cleanest. And I always tried as a young Christian, when I was in the company of people, telling really sort of, I would say, jokes that weren't pure, I always tried, and sometimes they were funny. And you'd feel like laughing. And I used to try not to laugh. And I found then if the Lord, and asked the Lord to help me, and then maybe the people in my company, they would say, oh, we shouldn't have said that. And that's good. Because if you laugh, they're going to think, oh, this is great. He's enjoying this. You know, so the answer is not to, you know, not to show your approval when it comes to, when people are saying things that aren't right. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient or were not suitable, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, clean talk, and that's easier said than done now. That it's nice when you get sort of jokes that you can share and laugh at. But sadly, we live in a world that is fallen, and their jokes aren't clean. See, in verse 10 there, you can still see more regarding the individual here. And it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And that's important, that we do God's will. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it's good to do God's will. And then verse 18 would encourage you there not to take alcohol. Again, that is an area where it's so easy to be caught. It's very easy to be caught. I remember as a boy growing up, and how that I remember going with some friends, and they were going to the mountain, and I remember they got a carry out, and thankfully I was never drunk in my life, but I remember taking some of those bottles of beer. Now that could have started me off. I know I wasn't a Christian then, but it could have started me off. And I mean, I do know of those who have professed faith and they've started to socialise, and suddenly they just go in for a nice meal and a little glass of wine, social occasion. And the next thing I know of a married person this has happened to, and the next thing they meet somebody else. And the next thing the marriage is over. And it was just step by step. And if I could give you advice, I know not everybody will heed it, obviously, but if I could give you one advice, and if you have never touched alcohol, never. I would say that to you, never. No matter what it is, it's so easy. And I'm not here to say that I've got all the answers, my family are perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying to you, personally, what I have been able to see in my short lifetime with drink, if I could just close down all the pubs, if I could put all that water into that alcohol into the sea, the fish would be all drunk. They would. I'd love to do it. I really would. It is the ruination of family life. There are people I know, and they are fearful for their husband to come home, get beat up. And that's the way it is. So it's not the way to go. Personally, I'm encouraging you as an individual be careful. And it tells us here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, wine is a mocker. It definitely is. Strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So, don't touch it. And if you don't take one drink, you'll not take the second one. Isn't that wonderful? But see, if you take one, you've broken any principle you have then. And I say, if you have already taken some, then don't say, oh, well, that's me anyway. Might as well carry on. No. You're never too late to stop. Because it's a downward spiral. And I say, no matter how people justify it, it's not good. It actually is proven to kill brain cells. Any of us here want to lose any more brain cells? But alcohol actually kills brain cells. It's proven. So the answer is don't touch it. Probably I'm speaking to the converted here, that you are not going to fall for it. But with all the advertisements and all that there, it's a social sort of acceptable drug, and it's ruining family life. So you think a happy family life, then it's really starts with the Lord and then with the individual. And it's great we can praise the Lord here in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that good? I don't know what tunes that are now available, but I'm sure there are plenty of tunes you know that maybe are not Christian, but they're harmless. But isn't it lovely to be able to hum or allow certain things to be in your mind and to praise the Lord, giving thanks in verse 20, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just looking at your hymn book here, and it tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in Philippians 2 and verse 5. And that's lovely. Think of the mind of Christ. And so a happy family life, it starts really with the Lord. When you become part of God's family, be a child of God. And that's a marvellous thing, to be adopted into the family of God. It's a lovely thing that God would reach down to us in love and lift us from the gutter, lift us from sin, and take away our sins and be our Saviour. So, yes, starts with the Lord and with the individual. Then we have here regarding the F family, and obviously think of the family. From verse 22 onwards, here it's a big subject, we need another few nights at it, but you'll get the idea. Family life, it's important for husband and wives, and to get on together. See, I'm not here to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I have a lot to learn. And how that here we are, and we have the Word of God, and it tells us, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And it says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, so I couldn't love my wife to that extent. That's some standard. As Christ loved the church. So I can't turn around and say, well, I love her as much as the rest or anybody else I know. But the standard is how as Christ loved the church. And see in verse 28 and 33, it tells us again, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So there's family. How there's a wee unit there, and how that a unit starts. Yes, you have to have individuals, and if they're trusting in the Lord, that's a great start in marriage. And then as they get on together, they are to love each other, they have to be honest with each other. And then as you think about husband and wives, then you think of children. It tells us here in chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there's children. Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there's a unit, a man and a wife, and a husband and wife. And I've heard people say, oh well, nowadays people are married when they just move in to live with each other. I actually heard someone saying that recently, and the type of person it was, I was sort of shocked. I said, that's not what's in the Bible. That's not the manual, the maker's instruction for a happy family life. Because how we put the Lord first, we want to obey him as individuals, and then you come together as a unit, as a family. And how the Lord wants us indeed to do what pleases him. So it is important. I'm not saying that we have to have a certain type of wedding, but when two people come together, they have to take responsibility. And it's not a matter of moving in with each other, it's a matter of people acknowledging that this here is official. This is official. It's like Ruth, you remember, and Boaz, how that Boaz took off the shoe, and this was the way it was done. He was saying, look, she from now on is going to be my wife. And that was it. It was. So that's important, I believe, too. So, yes, the family. And then just lastly, and briefly, lastly, for a happy family life, it starts with the Lord. I believe that. It starts then with the individual. The individual, we don't depend on our circumstances, our holidays, or the type of car we have for it to make us happy. Because if that's all that makes us happy. I heard one time of this lady, and I heard it indirectly, so hopefully it wasn't true, but this is what I heard. She said that she would leave her husband if she didn't get a new sun lounge. I thought, what? I could hardly believe it. So that was some pressure. I think I would have tested her out, I think. I think I would. Blackmail or whatever. But that's not the way it works. You know, if you really, you wouldn't threaten people like that there. You know, and it's like some people say, like, I'm leaving if it doesn't suit me. So that's not the way it is. It's for better or for worse. Whether you have a sun lounge or not. Whether you have a real good car or not. Whether you get a holiday or not. And sometimes people really have expectations, you know, that I'm going to marry into money and I'll be happy ever after. Well, that could be maybe the worst thing. You'd be better off if you had very little. And the Lord knows who to give money to and who to withhold as well. You know, and here is now, not only, say, the Lord, start with the Lord and the individual and the family, the husband and the wife, and then instructions for the children. And then for everyone else, and we'll finish with that there, regarding this mnemonic life, everyone else. And you see there, workers. And it tells us here in verse 5 to 8, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." I don't know how or what you all do, but could you imagine going into work and, you know, you're sort of thinking, right, does this mean I have to shake and tremble at the boss coming or whatever? I don't believe it's saying that, but it's respect. So if you're in the workplace and people are moaning and groaning about the pay and the conditions and all the problems, isn't it easy to fall into line with them and agree with them and start going with them? But it's better not. And if you're in the office or whatever it is and they're running down the boss and you're the Christian, the answer is not to fall into that trap either. And so it is important. As you work, then it is part, I believe, of a happy family life. Because if you're happy at your work, if you're happy in your home, that's a good start, isn't it? Because of your relationship with the Lord. He's with you in the workplace. And it tells us, obey them. Obey those that are paying you the wages. Especially when they're not asking you, I'm sure, to do things that are wrong. But not with eye service. Oh, there's the boss coming now. I better get busy. I remember a firm, and we came here first, and really hard working firm, and they came to do work at our house, and everything was going fine, and they worked really hard, very hot. They sat down, the boss came along, and the next thing, they all got up and started to get busy. And you could just see it. It wasn't hard for the boss to see, these boys are bluffing. And now, they just sat down. And I had to take their part and say, look, they've been really working hard, and they're just after sitting down. But here, when he came along, they were fairly going like busy bees. And I'm sure they felt deep down, you know, he probably thinks, we have been bluffing here for this last hour. And so, I think if you're taking a wee break at your office, and you're really tired, the boss comes, you don't sort of scramble and try to get busy, and he sees it right away. Best thing is just say, well, look, I just had a busy hour or two there. I just thought I'd take a cup of tea. And be honest with him, because he can read you like a book. So it's not with eye service as men pleasing, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So isn't that nice to be able to say, here I am in this office, this is where God has put me, I'm out in the workplace, whatever it is, and he has a purpose for me. I am unique, and he has something here for me to do, and obviously to witness by your life, and even the opportunity to share with others, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. So you're not working for the boss, really. You're working for God. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. So, I say, there we are, a simple wee thought, a happy family life. Now, I say, the Maker's instructions are here and in other portions of Scripture. I've been reading through Jeremiah myself, and I just came across this recently. In Jeremiah 32 and 17, how he was praying. Jeremiah was praying. Things were really bad at that time in Israel. And this is what Jeremiah was saying to God. There's nothing too hard for thee. So there's no family too hard for God. There's no individual too hard for God. God can save. He can save the vilest offender. Nobody should say, look, God couldn't save me. Of course he could save you. He could change your life if you would say, yes, I am the sinner and Christ is the Savior, and I want to change my life. I want to turn my back on those things that are wrong. I want to, that means repent. I want to now follow Jesus. That'll be some response. Put the Lord first. And you as an individual, and then the family, and then we're thinking of everyone else, the workers and other members, say, of the family connection that you have. God's able to save. Wouldn't it be great that all of our family, will the circle being broken by and by. See, I have a brother who's not a Christian, and he brought up in the same environment as myself, and I would just love that he would get saved. Thankfully, many of my family are saved, and I praise God for that. My dad got saved, I would say, about 10 years ago in the city hospital, and that was a marvelous thing to witness to my own father. And again, he was a religious man, and I do thank God that he realized his need. He realized, he would have said, I'm a Christian, but I'm not saved. Have you heard that? I'm a Christian, but I'm not saved. He felt he was a Christian because he, I would say, he lived a type of Christian life. A decent, moral, upright life, like many people live in Ulster. And yet to think there are people in Ulster living that life and they close their eyes in death and they end up in hell. Isn't that incredible? And that frightens me when I'm talking to people, and I'm thankful again to God for those that God has allowed me to talk to and witness to. And I count it a privilege when someone asks me to go and see them and they trust the Lord. It really is wonderful, because I know that that is the start of their life to really to be a happy life. Now, not it doesn't mean to say that you'll not have troubles, that you won't have difficulties, even financial difficulties. You won't have personal difficulties, relationship difficulties. Of course, we'll all have those. But you'll not be on your own. And that's the difference. Because God has said, as soon as you receive Christ, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So a happy family life starts with the Lord, starts with individual. And this is the time of year when you think, but when the fullness of time has come, and 2,000 years ago Christ came, and he was made of a woman, he was made under the law. What for? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that good news? You can be adopted tonight, if you're not a Christian, into this family, and this happy family in the Lord. All the burdens, all your sin taken away. No separation then between you and God. Heaven guaranteed. That should make anybody happy in this world. And then to think about, yes, think about the Lord and the individual and the family. Tonight, the Lord wants you to have a happy family. Yes, there was Adam and Eve. And remember the problems. Brought problems and difficulties. Even with their children. Ended up committing murder. Sin is an awful thing. It just ruins people. Ruins relationships. And yet there's plenty of family connections in the Bible. When you think of the Saviour, he was brought into a family situation. Once he put on flesh in the Virgin's womb. How that he was brought up in that family. And there were other children after him. Born of Mary and Joseph. And so he knows what it is to be in a family situation. I'm sure some of those brothers would have been fighting as well. Can you imagine? I'm sure you all had a wee fight if you had brothers and sisters. And no harm done either. But I could imagine the situation as Christ grew up and then even working in the workshop, in the carpenter's shop. Then with the disciples, and the way at times they misunderstood him and even the religious leaders and everything. The Lord, he knows all about problem relationships. He identifies with us. That's why he's our sympathetic high priest tonight. And I trust that as you think about a happy family life, you'll say the Lord. You'll say the individual. And then you'll think about a family. You'll think about a man and his wife. You'll think about children. And the responsibility of that unit before God. And then you'll think about everyone else. You'll think about, oh, my work here. I have to do my work as unto God. And so if you're a happy person in your work, because I have known people, I know what they're waiting on. They're waiting on the pension. And them, maybe only 20 or 30 years of age. Is that what you're waiting on? There mightn't be a pension when you get old. But you know, That's what sometimes people are. Say, I can't wait till I finish work and just get all this over me. But don't work it that way. Don't think that way at all. Just think here, I'm here because God has allowed me to be brought into this world. He has allowed me to have this particular job, this particular career. And even you don't understand everything about the ways that you have arrived at where you are at the moment, God knows. And He's a purpose for you. And He wants you then to live your life to please Him. And it'll be a great witness to your boss and to the other workers. And may the Lord encourage you. And I trust that you all will have not only a happy Christmas, but you'll have a happy family life. And if that hasn't been the case in the past, remember, God can change it. Because Jeremiah prayed, and he prayed this way, there's nothing too hard for thee. And then the Lord said something in Jeremiah 32:27. Is there anything too hard for me? So, nothing. And so, don't let the devil tell you, if you're a Christian tonight, that you can never have a happy family life. Because God wants you to have. And you can have that in the Lord. And so isn't that wonderful? And I trust that that will be the case. And that the Lord will bless each one. And if you're taking notes or anything and you want to read further, read Titus 2, verse 1 to 15. I know maybe I've kept you all late or whatever. Hopefully not. But I trust you have a whole life in front of you, and that you will have a happy family life. And no matter what your work conditions are, that you'll have some time. If I could live my life again, you don't get an opportunity for that, but if I could live my life again, I think I would have spent more time with my three children. I do believe that. But it's now I have an opportunity with a grandchild. You can see the benefits of that too. But so if you're spared, and you're spared in a marriage situation, and to really have time for each other and work out any problems or difficulties, talk them over, and don't talk about each other behind their back. I think that's a nasty thing. You'll hear that in the office and all. Oh, my husband, my wife, oh, don't talk about her. That really annoys me. It always did. Because that's betrayal. You know, you are betraying someone that you say, I love. So don't do it. That's my advice. So, as I say, I don't have all the answers, but I know the one who has, and that's the Saviour. And say a short word of prayer. Loving Father, we praise your name for your word and the instructions, the manual that we have, and how that we all want to be happy. We all want to live a purposeful life, and we want, Father, to be able to help other people, and especially those connected with our family. And so we pray that you be pleased now to help us. We know your grace is sufficient, and there's nothing too hard for thee. And so may, Father, be willing to obey your word, and be willing then to be what you want us to be, and that we will, Father, have much cause to rejoice, rejoicing in the Lord. So bless these dear folk, Father, here, and their family circles, we pray. We do ask it all in the Saviour's name. Amen.